Hello, I appreciate everybody's attendance here today for our second Shack meeting of the year. As required by TEA, we must have four meetings each year. So we're having two the first semester and two the second semester. I always want to remind the committee and the guests of what the purpose of our Shack is. Shack assists the district in ensuring that local community values are reflected in health education instruction and strengthens the connection between health and learning. In short, our goal is to assist the district in creating a healthy school environment. I'd like to take roll call right now to let you know everybody's in attendance. I am Terry Hagler. I am the chair.
I'm Tony Diller. I'm the co-chair and a parent.
Taylor Foss, parent.
Lois Burleson, district nurse, high school nurse, and secretary.
And we have a guest today.
Yes, Jenny Clark, school nurse at the West Junior High.
And Max Johnson is not present today. I emailed y'all the minutes from our previous meeting on October 25th. I sent that to you a couple of weeks ago. Have y'all had a chance to look at that? And if so, do you have any questions of anything that were on the minutes? I also provided a copy today. Do I have a motion to pass the minutes?
A motion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor of the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimous. Thank you very much. So we've gone through all the procedures. I want you to know that on our agenda today that we have school health services. And I'm going to turn it over to Lois to begin, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
So I covered school health services last year, and this year I brought one of the campus nurses, Jenny, over just so she can give basically an overview. And then I will add, she's going to give specifics and then an overview as well, but then I'll give specifics as far as district-wide whenever, just include that information in. So that's on you, girl.
All right, to start off with, we do have eight nurses in our district. We have five RNs and three LPNs. The RNs are at the high school, the West Junior High, the East Junior High, the ECC, and the West Elementary. The LPNs are at the East Intermediate, West Intermediate, and East Elementary. Some major differences between the RN and the LPN. The LPNs require appropriate supervision by an RN. They collect data and perform focused assessments, whereas RNs don't require supervision by another healthcare provider, and we can perform comprehensive nursing assessments of the students when they come in. As an RN, we also write the individualized health plans for students that have health conditions such as asthma, seizures, diabetes, severe allergies. We can also train and teach UDCAs, which are our unlicensed diabetic care assistants, for when there is not a nurse on campus. And as far as students is like what I see in my clinic, I yesterday saw 76 initial office visits. Several of those had anywhere from 2 to 4 additional office visits for the same reasons.
How many students are on your campus?
I have 996 students on my campus.
Over 10% of your students.
Yes. And I have like 120 staff members, and I see several of them a day as well. For my medications, I give 38 daily medications to students and 112 as-needed medications for students that may come in for headaches, sore throats, anything along those lines. I have 7 students on the campus that have been diagnosed with seizures, 8 with severe allergies, and 3 diabetics, and 20 with asthma. So we do lots of daily teaching for the students with asthma in terms of like deep breathing and make sure they do proper hand washing, cover their coughs, stay hydrated, and when to monitor for symptoms that could lead up to episodes of their asthma flaring up. Let's see. For immunizations, there are several students that come in that have to have those checked monthly, it seems like. For my campus, I get new students every week. Yes. But specifically for 7th grade, we have to make sure that they have 2 immunizations to start. It's Tdap and meningitis, and I got to go through 293 records to make sure that they had those for the school year this year. I know that kindergarten has lots, all of them. I don't know exactly all of them because I don't have to do most of those. I just have to mainly monitor those two. And it seems
we call it dimmer. It's the abbreviation for it.
Oh, it is a lot, Other than just seeing students daily, we also provide screenings, which include vision, hearing, and spinal screenings. I have completed most of mine. I do have some rescreens that I'll start in the spring when we come back. But total, I screened 570 students for vision this year, 569 for hearing, and 352 for spinal. I have referred out over 60 children for all of those together. It was 41 for vision, 18 for hearing, and 18 for spinal. So
those are just certain grade levels that you have to
Yes. So the hearing and vision are 5th and 7th grade. For the spinal, it's 5th and 7th grade girls and 8th grade boys.
Okay.
And then we have to screen any new student to the state of Texas within 120 days of them arriving. So all of those.
Yeah.
It is a lot of screenings. We do offer flu clinics for the staff members in the fall. The school required vaccines, we don't offer a clinic for the students because most of the time the students also need to see their primary care provider for their yearly visits. So they'll get those there and not so much with us on our campus. Some specific health education that I do. I'm responsible for the 5th grade personal hygiene and puberty talk.
Oh, fun.
It is lovely. Yes. We have not had it this year. We're going to have a return back from the Christmas break, and so
you separate the boys and girls.
Yes, separate the boys and the girls. Send out permission slips to parents, and make sure everybody has turned those in. If they don't turn them in, they're in the automatic no category, and they stay in the class that they will be in, which is PE or music.
Overall, do most parents agree?
Yes, I'm gonna say I have maybe 20 max of students that don't participate, but other than that, it's and I do have parents that come in beforehand and we watch the video together, answer any questions and things like that.
Yeah.
So that's always an option for them. That's and great. I email them also the video link of the video that we show.
All parents.
Yes, it's in the form when I send it out, but then if they can't for some reason get it to work, then I email them an additional link to it. Mm-hmm. Yes. That is all that I have.
I was going to give y'all totals in addition to hers, basically, which first, she's amazing. That's a lot. 996 a lot. Students, one nurse,
that's
including.
West Junior, huh?
Yes.
So 6th, 7th, and 8th.
5th,
6th. 5th, 6th.
Yes, on this side.
And then she also does the screenings. What we started implementing is I really implore them to get a substitute nurse. We're working to try to get all of our subs, if they will, they're willing to be certified to screen to help us.
Yeah.
But then that way they can cover the campus because it's really hard to balance office visits and then screening. So she does amazing with
you
a lot.
You never get in a bind at any of the campuses where you have to hire a sub that's not a nurse?
We haven't had to hire one, but for as far as substituting, yes. And the reason why that's really applicable is the state of Texas does not require a registered nurse to be in schools. However, what school districts do is if you don't have a nurse on campus, then it becomes the responsibility of the principal. And a lot of principals say, you know what, I'm focused on education. This is kind of not my realm. So it helps them to want to have a nurse on campus, and so they usually do. But we will have occasionally someone that is not a nurse sub. Again, that falls on the campus. The nurse is relieved of the responsibility because she's not there, but then the campus principal assumes the responsibility. And a lot of campus principals prefer us. Can you get a nurse to sub?
Yeah. How many subs do y'all have, like, available?
We have great question. We have approximately 10 substitute nurses as of now. Two will cover for us.
Wow.
Yes.
It is very, very, please. Please.
Does Kim Melnick help anymore?
She'll help, but she's taking care of her mother who's ill.
Okay.
And so she really, her specifically, she needs way advanced notice. Yeah. And that's sometimes hard, especially if someone gets ill. Currently, we have a nurse, the West Elementary nurse has been out. She's been out since last Wednesday. And we've just I've just been kind of patching here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And lucky this week, I had finals, so I was able to help. But med conditions, you know, as Jenny said, she has 3 diabetics.
So
we have approximately 10 diabetics in the district, which doesn't seem like a lot spread out, but it's still a lot, because lucky for me, at the high school level, they can manage well, self-care. Mm-hmm. Junior high, they're starting to do pretty good, but we still want to get those checks. We want to make sure you're good for 7 hours in our custodial care, that your blood sugars are good, you don't need any medicine, that kind of stuff. So we give close to 100 daily meds through the district, and which still seems like a little bit, but it's quite a bit. And that's not including our PRNs. Our PRNs, I couldn't even count them. Y'all, I printed, it was 30 pages report. Oh, wow. So I said, I'm not counting that. They don't give totals.
And
in
there's like an average of 17 per page. I printed mine yesterday. There's 17 like per page.
Mm-hmm. And so that's as needed when parents bring medications. Texas highly recommends that you do not provide any medication from the district, that you encourage the parent to bring it. Mm-hmm. So district policy here is that we want the parents to provide the medication. So if you want your child to have Tylenol or ibuprofen, we give you a medication administration forms that you're going to sign saying that we have permission to administer it. We recommend you bring it in a brand new unopened bottle so that we know for safety measures that that's exactly what product is in the box container. And then you can either have it for a specified time. Some students, for instance, will have post-surgical and they'll just need it for a week. Mm-hmm. You can mark that.
So just to clarify, you say you recommend. So if a parent does not bring that and a child needs
medication, we contact the parent and the parent can either come and bring it, which sometimes happens, and then they'll usually want to leave it because they're like, don't want to be administered at work. Or they sometimes pick the student up, you know.
So if I called, I couldn't just say, can you give Crew some Tylenol or anything?
Yes, you cannot. Okay. And part of that is what it really boils down to for nurses is we cannot diagnose and treat. If I'm giving your child medication, I've already decided that your child is diagnosed with. Mm-hmm. Whereas you as the parent, you know, it's non-applicable. You can do whatever you want with your student. Mm-hmm. So we really try to keep that line separated. Mm-hmm. And a great example I like to use in my nursing practice with school nursing, you have a student, parent brings Tylenol. Just give them the Tylenol. You give it to them every day because they have a headache. What if there's really a vision issue? Yeah. What if there's really something going on? They need a CT. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to put ourselves in that position, nor allow the parents to not, you know.
So if we brought Tylenol and left it with you and, you know, just told him, if you need it, go get it. What if he's coming every day? Do y'all obviously let the parents know he's
absolutely
coming every day this 100% week to get Tylenol?
Yes, we 100% call. And then we keep documentation to support that conversation with you.
Yeah.
So-and-so is coming every day, and he seems to be coming at this time. Might be that class.
Right.
Might be that's really when the headache or whatever issue is. Yeah. And so we do. Yeah. We try to communicate.
Document all that.
We really try, if we are able, we cannot guarantee, but we try our hardest to communicate prior to the administration of the medication, if we can. Mm-hmm. Hey, I just want to let you know I'm giving little Johnny some Tylenol. And mainly for that as a safety measure, too.
If I haven't taken it home and stuff before.
Haven't taken it home, and I don't want the student to get it, let's say at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, he goes home an hour and a half, and you give him some, and it's so. Mm-hmm. So we try our hardest. It doesn't always work, but we try. Elementary, they send notes home. Mm-hmm. Elementary, it's a little more, you know, they're not as able to articulate.
Yeah.
Whereas my campus, her campus, they're able to articulate better. Right. So.
Will you tell ladies about safety and securing the prescription drugs?
So all medications on all campuses are locked under a key. The nurse has it. Principal has access. That's it. We have to take the most current bottles within 30 days. It has to be labeled with the exact directions and has to be labeled with that student's name. So a great example is ADHD meds. Sometimes parents get a 90-day supply. Well, don't give me 90 pills.
Yeah.
So we like to count out to be specific to the school calendar for that many days. Yeah. And then I have to have the original labeled prescription bottle. So that's a safety measure. Yeah. And the parents will count out and bring another bottle and take it home. So, and then at the end of the year, and that still continuing on ADHD medication, that's a controlled substance. So we have to document and sign for it. So if you bring me medication, you're going to bring me, we're going to count the pills together. You're going to witness that you gave me that pills. I'm going to witness that I received those. Okay. At the end of the year, we send out notification. We kind of post it Wiley Weeklies. We post it on the website. Any way we can get parental elementaries, they'll send something home in the folders. Mm-hmm. Please pick up your medication because we have to destroy it. We're not allowed to keep it. And plus, I mean, it might expire. You don't know. But we encourage all parents to come pick up the controlled substances if there's any left because sometimes kids are absent.
Right, so they miss it.
You might have a day or two in there. And then any PRN meds. If they don't come get it, we have to destroy it. Mm-hmm. And we have to start fresh every single school year, which also includes, to add on to that, any of the medical conditions she was talking about, seizures, asthma.
All new paperwork.
All new paperwork. Because most times those students that have those medical conditions are being seen on an annual basis.
Yeah.
So it helps us update the information. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What we do is we take that, we get what's called our action plan. Mm-hmm. That tells us step by step what procedures or motions that we're going to do for that student. Mm-hmm. In addition to, if we weren't here, Mr. Hagler came to my campus, he's going to know exactly step by step what to do. Mm-hmm. And then to complement that, we do what's called an individual health plan. Nurses do it. In layman's terms, people know about IEPs, individual education plans. For your student, it's the same. And we put our interventions, like how are we going to do, I'm going to make sure Jenny is, you know, has regulated breathing at school. I'm going to make sure Jenny knows to come to my office to get her inhaler. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make sure that Jenny knows how to administer the medication herself. Or I'm going to educate, patient education, to help her do it.
So what about the students like with seizures? Do y'all train those teachers when they mm-hmm. get put in a classroom of mm-hmm. what to do, how to, I mean, obviously you can't really prepare the kids,
right?
But they just, you know,
right.
But the teachers know, and then they just know to get the kids out. And
yeah,
out.
We, it's really, it's a little easier at the elementary level because uh-huh. it's more conduced. And
right.
so we go straight classroom. To those teachers, that classroom. Mm-hmm. We, try to talk to principals to say, you know, hey, this would this teacher be okay with this
right.
student?
Uh-huh.
Would the student benefit with this teacher mm-hmm. as far as medical condition? Because honestly, some people are scared of blood.
Right.
Some people
Absolutely.
Are scared
yeah.
of...
So if you yeah. know of a teacher that...
Right.
Think, yeah,
and, you know, just mm-hmm. make it easier. And so
yeah.
we do. We do a training for that. Several, not all, but the majority, there's a ton in our district that are CPR trained.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition, EpiPen training uh-huh. is complemented in CPR training.
Oh, yeah.
But we go an extra step further mm-hmm. if you do have a severe allergy student,
mm-hmm.
we will show you their EpiPen, where it is,
mm-hmm.
where it's located.
Mm-hmm.
So we do that training.
Mm-hmm.
The newest one coming up that we'll probably talk about is going to be Narcan. That's the latest, greatest
mm-hmm.
I brought.
Where are we at on that?
We the policy hasn't been completed, but I did receive our complimentary because we have a standing order for it,
mm-hmm.
and the policy was approved by the board.
Right.
And
so it's approved. It's just it's got to go through
all the channels. Yeah.
To get it online.
To write the specifics, and it'll be there. So this is our emergency rescue drug as far as opioid interaction. So this will affect, it will only be housed on the junior high and the high school campuses.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that too with 6th through 12th grade education on Narcan. But you guys have heard, I'm sure, in the news, fentanyl. That's the big one.
Yeah.
So that's what's...
So that can... That's a spray that can kind of over...
Yes. So if we have a student that we know potentially had a fentanyl overdose
uh-huh.
or opioid overdose, because hydrocodone is an opioid.
Mm-hmm.
Medicines we don't always think about. Morphine. All of those meds are those. We can administer this nasal spray and help get them.
Wow. That's great.
Help.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that word.
Time
yeah.
to get to the
yeah.
hospital.
Yeah.
So crazy
who could administer that?
Anyone who's trained, which we will all be preparing for training.
So
we're going to prefer.
We have a plan to train more than just the nurses.
Yeah, I would like to add it to our professional development
yeah.
coming up, you know, just so we can do it.
Yeah.
And they could probably, you know, we could, the videos, they have a little video.
You talking about the one of the 2 days we have coming up this semester? You talking about next summer?
Probably next summer, because I'm not sure the policy will be ready.
Oh.
And I want to follow, you know,
yeah.
the guidelines on that.
We need to double check. I would think the policy would be updated within 30 days.
Okay.
That would be my understanding.
Yeah.
But we'll
okay.
check on that.
We'll check. But yes,
that
they'll
was turn the November meeting, was it not?
Yeah. So just, yeah.
yeah.
We've decided at this time that it will be housed in the nurse's office, because the nurse's office also houses the epinephrine,
mm-hmm.
the emergency inhalers.
Mm-hmm.
We have, if a student is diagnosed with asthma, let's say they don't have their inhaler, Texas law has now allowed us to have an unassigned, is what they've used
yeah.
the term, unassigned inhaler. We contact the parents, we administer the
mm-hmm.
medication. You can do multi-use, because what we have is disposable chambers
oh, yeah.
where their mouth is not ever on the
on
actual.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
okay.
Like
yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. So we're allowed to do that. So it'll be housed with us on our things.
Mm-hmm.
We have one SRO in our district. Law enforcement is required by law now to carry it on him at all times. So we
oh,
also
really?
Have the
He'll
SRO
have
to have it.
It.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also obtained extra to leave in his office for me.
Nice. That's good.
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 Who would have thought that'd be mm-hmm. something that you'd have to have in school?
Yes.
Blows
no.
my mind.
Mm-hmm. But we're trying to be proactive.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes. No,
all
I'm
school,
glad.
Yeah.
Yes.
All
like,
schools are trying to be proactive.
Just the way it's.
But it had to become a law.
Yeah. We've been blessed. Our district has not been impacted thus far with any type of that. But we don't want to be naive to the fact that it could potentially be there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then as far as like follow-up to touch on hers, she gave you specifics on hers. As district-wide, we've done 2,460 hearing screenings, 2,481 vision screenings, and 621 spinal screenings. The difference in the vision and hearing is a lot of times often a teacher will say, hey, little Johnny doesn't seem like he can see. Do you mind screening him?
Oh, yeah.
So extras, those can be extras. Sometimes, too, on the hearing, it might be less because we don't screen hearing impaired. You're not going to, if you already know that the student receives treatment or has hearing aids, we're not going to screen that student. So immunizations, like she said, we're trying really hard to start kind of pushing that out, too. In the past, because I think it was smaller district-wise, we would ask after the students came to school, hey, did you get your shots, that kind of thing. And statistically, what we found as school nurses, it's if we can ask at the end of the school year and over the summer, hey, by the way, can you get little Johnny shots before the start of school? It eliminates that. Parents are grateful. They're like, okay, I can do that and not have to take off work to go get it. Plus, if everybody's doing it at the same time, the vaccine is less. There's not enough and you're having to schedule out farther. So we're going to be working on that.
Benefited from that? I mean, you're going to try.
We're going to try. This year was a little, we weren't able to because we switched to new computer software program. And so that excuse me, the conversion in itself was a toll.
It's just reminders to the parents. They know.
Absolutely.
About it, they know all summer if they get something weekly, bi-weekly, every week this summer.
How often do we have to deny enrollment because of shots?
I have not yet had to do it. I really don't want to because it doesn't benefit the parent. Ultimately, we're here for students.
Yeah,
and it does not benefit a student if the student's not sitting in that chair in the classroom. So I really try hard not to. I submitted my report. That's a state report we have to submit. I submitted it, and I had one delinquent in a kindergarten and seventh grade. And, yes, I take it personal. Because I don't like any delinquencies.
Like, they didn't have their...
They did not have it. That was not updated.
And there are some exemptions.
I was going to say, those, the exemptions of people that choose not to have them.
Correct. Those are state, what we consider state exemptions. They can do it for a religious reason. They're good for 2 years. And every 2 years, they have to come up. Those are ones we really try to stay on top of because it takes approximately 3 weeks to receive that information from the state. And then once they receive that form, they have to get it notarized to provide to us. So we try to make sure that we give ample time for them.
How many of those can you say? How many of those?
We roughly have approximately 150 in the district.
District-wide exemptions from vaccines.
And I haven't checked this year for pre-K, but it's slowly increased every year.
Is it increasing?
It is.
Year by year,
it is. And, you know, with the COVID vaccine, that probably didn't help situations where people became alarmed.
I was going to say, I've had an increase in seventh graders that got the exemption waiver for Tdap and meningitis.
Really?
Yes.
We do have other exemptions. We consider them sometimes lifelong or a doctor exemption. A doctor exemption would say the doctor will release them and give them exemption for 1 year to see. Maybe they just seemed like they had an allergy.
Right.
So we want to make sure before it could have been an allergen to something else. A lifelong exemption would be they had a reaction, and so we don't want them to ever get that vaccine. Doctors write a note for us, provide it to us. We upload it, and no questions asked.
So the delinquents that came through, whatever, they were just ones that...
They've been since corrected.
No.
Because I was like...
But you had... It's not like you hadn't reached out to them and everything.
Correct.
But they just never have...
Yeah.
And you have to...
They did make it a priority.
Yeah.
They did make a priority. And in their defense, again, like, for instance, the kindergarten one, those parents have to take off work, schedule a visit, and then get the student in, and then get the shots.
But, again... That's a responsibility as a parent.
Correct.
Yes.
So,
especially that far into the year where you have a delinquent. Like, okay, you've had all this time.
And it takes away from us, and that's another reason I want to concentrate on the proactivity. Jenny can vouch, and she may have better statements than me on this, but we're sitting there making phone calls to parents
that, reminding them.
Instead of taking care of our students or getting our screenings done or whatever we need, when it's something, like you said, parents' responsibility, and we wish they would already have taken care of it.
Oh, yes, because I call... Email and mail a letter.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
We do three calls.
Multiple times.
Yes. For 100 plus students every school year.
No, I think the summertime thing is a great idea. Just start putting it in there.
What are the chances we can get them to hold their schedules?
Talk to your principal.
Okay.
That's a great idea.
Sometimes it kind of lights a fire.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
You
want
to know who you have, you better go.
Yeah. You want to know who your teacher is.
Yeah, exactly.
So. I
like it.
That's all we. That's all I have. Do you have any questions for us?
So I have a question.
Yeah,
The screenings you do for fifth graders. Mm-hmm. So is that, does fifth graders on the east side do that since they're at the intermediate? They're not at the junior high?
Yes.
They just do it over there.
Yes. The state law requires us to screen pre-K, kinder, first, third, fifth, and seventh.
Okay.
So it's grade level.
It's grade level. Cool. Then any new enrollments, we have 120 days from the first day they come. We try to, again, to be proactive. When a student, for example, from my campus, especially mine because I don't have a grade that I'm required to screen, but I have to screen all the new ones, and there's a ton of new high school kids. I have 103 as of now.
Wow.
So, new high school, so I had to screen them. Jenny and I, we have a little thing where we're like, we're going to get them in before the end of the semester.
So that doesn't matter what grade they're in. If
correct.
They're new to the campus or to the district, they have to be screened.
Correct.
No matter.
Okay.
For everything, for eyes.
Vision, hearing, not spinal, spinal, just vision and hearing. Mm-hmm. And so what I've done in my productivity, and it was my experience in school nursing, is I get with the counselors and I say, hey, when little Johnny comes up here and gets a schedule,
yes.
does the tour,
do
stop
then.
By the nurse's office.
Yes.
And that eliminates
so
me having to.
Pulling them out of class.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not to pull them out of class and not have to delay them.
For them the first time. I mean,
yeah.
Get it
yeah.
Done on,
yeah. And they don't know me yet, so they're like, okay, I'll do whatever.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, we're coming. Yeah. Okay.
So that's what we do on that.
So it's back.
Mm-hmm.
Not school, but by
yes,
grade level.
By grade level.
Okay.
Spinal screening is by grade level 2 or age. Mm-hmm. School nurses lost their mind because that's really hard. You can have a fifth grader that's in
be, yeah,
any
yeah.
grade.
Off.
So we kind of pushed back as a collective whole in the state, and mm-hmm. they granted us the grade level.
Okay,
grade
good.
Level. Good.
Yeah, because my son started school at 6 instead of 5. So
there you go.
Mm-hmm. He could be in fifth grade, but he's in
yes.
fourth grade. So,
yeah.
Yes.
Good information.
Okay.
Thank
yes.
you.
You're welcome.
Yes.
Thanks for listening.
Any more questions?
I think so.
I wanted to visit with y'all about the next meeting, proposed dates. I'd like to do it the week of February the 12th. Tuesdays and Thursdays seem to work for me. That would be February 13th is the Tuesday, February 15th is the Thursday. I could do possibly do a Wednesday, but I want to stay away from Mondays and Fridays. Does either one of those dates, Tuesday the 13th, Thursday the 15th, work into y'all's schedules?
Whatever.
I can't remember what Max said was a difficult date for him.
13th,
obviously,
right?
I think he said Thursday.
Okay.
So we did this, but yeah.
Okay.
I have another meeting on the 13th, but I might can rearrange that.
Say
or maybe said Tuesdays.
He might have said Tuesdays.
Because,
yeah. Oh,
yeah,
that's
right.
Right.
He said,
but
he said Thursdays
this week we could
were
do Thursdays
yeah.
because
oh,
in
we're
the school.
Out.
School.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
I think he said Thursdays
yeah.
were better. Okay,
yeah. that would be perfect.
Thursday February
the
15th.
Because I do have a meeting on the 13th already. I don't normally, but it just happened.
That's a big day. Somebody's turning 60 that day. 6-0, yeah.
Your birthday?
I can celebrate with y'all.
That's your birthday? Oh, yeah.
Tomorrow's my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Yeah.
39.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that.
Okay, so February the 15th works for everybody. Mm-hmm. And does anybody have any other questions or concerns? Okay, thank you all for your attendance. This
back
meeting
here.
Is okay. adjourned. Yep, we'll have it right here. Thank you.